a letter L6 from the Oregon Dairy Farmers Association, a letter L7 from Makina Alba, the LAP, Director of NDA Operations with the Northwest Dairy Association, November 13th, a letter from the Port of Morrow, actually it was from Sarah. She submitted a couple of things. So that's from Sarah Stafford Curtis representing the port with a rebuttal on a number of items. And then new to your packet, I just started numbering these, would be a new exhibit. Oh, and an attachment to Sarah's letter is Administrative Rules 344055 definitions. And then new in your packet, dated 11/14, is an email and a map from Adam Kearns from Agriculture Construction, talking about irrigation. An email today from Raymond Akers, a letter of opposition. Also attached are some some ORS 215-246. Moving on to Exhibit P is another letter dated today from Sarah Stafford Curtis. Also a rebuttal and attachments to those is, I've labeled it Exhibit Q, a letter from Lisa Middlesdorf from Port of Morrow. And then Exhibit B, another letter from Stoll Reeves, Michael Campbell. Any exhibits we missed? Okay, if so, you can let us know. So, Madam Chair, I think it would make sense to readopt and enter all of those as a slate into the record in case we miss something. I don't think we're getting more, but I think we will. So. All
right, thank you for finding out the many additions that we had. So.
Can you ask for a motion to adopt these into the record?
If I could ask for a motion to adopt these into the record.
A motion to adopt.
Second.
I second. John. Liz made a motion. John second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Same. Any opposed? Same sign. Motion passed.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I'll just briefly recap. At the October 29th Planning Commission meeting, most of the Planning Commission members were here. I think Commissioner Thompson was not. We did provide him with the packet. You were not here, but we provided you with the packet.
I listened to the recording.
Oh, you did. Okay, very good. And all the commissioners have had a copy of the packet. So the applicant and the opponent, Mr. Meendrick and his lawyer, Drew Martin, presented a case in opposition to the land use decision. At the end of the hearing, they requested we continue the hearing, which meant we also kept the record open till the close of the hearing today. At issue is what we consider an outright use, but it's not a use we can issue ministerially, meaning over the counter. We have to write findings to show that the application is consistent with the standards in our code and also in statute. And you have a draft set of findings there. And those were written before a lot of exhibits that were entered into the record in October. And at question is an application from the Port of Morrow to apply agriculture, food, processed water onto a large amount of acreage, approximately 6,200 acres. So tonight, the chair will allow the applicant and then interested parties to speak, and then the applicant gets the final rebuttal. I think since everybody has either listened to it or was at the October 29th hearing, we don't need the parties to repeat what was already said, but we also haven't put a time limit on anybody, so if you feel like it's valuable to your position, then feel free. But again, I think everybody's up to speed from the first hearing. So tonight, I think we'll hear from a couple of parties about some nuances about this. Dan, anything that I missed? Dan Kearns is our contract land use counsel for the county. Anything else you want to remind the Planning Commission and the audience of?
Hi, good evening. No, I think you covered it. It was continued, kind of record still open, but hopefully this will be the concluding hearing and you'll be able to deliberate and decide tonight. That's the objective here.
Okay.
Any questions that the commission has?
Do you have the online paper?
Okay. One thing I did want to ask Dan, not everyone, in order for somebody to participate, we need an actual name and a phone number or email address. So,
so how do you mean people are online?
Mm-hmm. On Zoom.
Yes. In order to have party status, we need to know who they are. You have a state law obligation to provide copies of your final decision to everyone who participates. So in order to do that, people need to identify themselves and give you a means for getting your notice to them.
Okay. So those of you who don't have a name associated with, like, well owner, we don't know who you are.
Maybe when they testify, they can disclose who that is. Just the fact that someone might be zooming in and lurking, as we say, that doesn't give them party status, doesn't give them standing. So I don't, you know, they can lurk anonymously, I guess.
Okay, thank you. I think with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I know those last few things that just came in, we haven't had a chance to read them, but I think the parties that are here can explain the substance of those new documents.
Okay, at this time then, I invite the applicant proponent to present testimony and evidence. Again, please, your name and address.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, my name is Sarah Stoffer Curtis. I'm a land use attorney with Stoll Reeves Law Firm. The address is 760 Southwest 9th Avenue in Portland.
Jeff Devin, Portamorum, MIFFDEVIN, PO Box 200, Portland, 97818.
So you heard from Myth and I at our last hearing, and we're going to try to stay fairly high level with our comments today. Happy to answer any questions that you may have. Also, with our apologies for the last minute submittals, we were doing our best to respond to the things that were coming in live. So we hope you understand that we were doing our best to get you materials as quickly as we could. I just wanted to first go over the submittals that we provided since our last hearing. They're in your packet. There are two different letters from the port. Those letters specifically respond to the alternatives that have been proposed by the neighboring landowner. As you know, the land use standard for this outright permitted use requires the applicant, if there are proposed alternatives, to consider those alternatives and then to respond in writing to those proposed alternatives. So there are two letters from the port, one from earlier in the week and one from today, responding to some comments from yesterday that specifically address those alternatives. In addition to those letters from the port, there are two different letters from our office that respond to a number of the legal arguments that were made on the record by the neighboring landowner. And then there is also a letter from my partner, Michael Campbell, who addresses the arguments related to the DEQ wastewater rules. He is our wastewater permitting specialist, and his letter specifically responds to those issues related to the DEQ rules. So with that, I wanted to just briefly cover what we think are the few key points related to your review of this application. First of all, as has been mentioned previously in our comments and in our written submittals, this is a use permitted outright, and the scope of the county's review is very narrow here. There are a lot of arguments on the record about DEQ standards and what applies and the monitoring that should occur. The DEQ has already determined that this proposed use complies with its standards, and it has issued that permit subject only to the county confirming that this complies with the county's land use standards. It is not the county's role to review this for compliance with DEQ standards. That's DEQ's role. And then on the issue of the alternatives proposed by the neighboring landowner, the port has considered that proposal, has explained why it cannot adopt those buffers and the monitoring program that is being proposed, and has done so in writing and provided those in two separate letters. That is all that is required under the land use standards. There's case law to explain that that is all that is required. There's nothing further for the county to do once those that written response is provided. So as we have outlined in our various submittals, the port has met all of the standards that apply to the proposal, and the evidence in the record clearly supports approval of this. And our request tonight is that as you consider this, you close the record and you proceed with your deliberations and you make a decision tonight to approve this application. So we're happy to answer any questions you might have about the submittals.
Okay. Anyone have any questions?
I guess the obvious question is, why is it that the port can't abide by the buffer? We're going to talk about this later, but why is it that they can't abide by the buffer?
By the buffer?
Yeah.
And the buffer that's being proposed, you've looked at the proposal, would actually, in the submittal by Mr. Martin from earlier in the week, the proposal shows irrigation sort of between the center pivots, sort of outside of that, in order to get additional acreage. The port needs every acre available within this farm, you know, for its land application program. In addition to that, the expense to redo the irrigation infrastructure to be able to water between those pivots is both impractical and cost prohibitive. Do you want to add anything to that? No?
I do not.
How many acres are in the proposed buffer?
208.
Any additional questions? Brian?
No.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I invite the opponents to testify and present evidence.
There might be other problems.
Oh, sorry. Wait. Stop.
Nope.
I forgot a step. There's there additional proponents for to testify.
Other people in favor of the application.
Is it open to anyone, or do they have to?
Anyone in favor? You may testify if you're speaking in favor.
Yeah, I'm.
Just come on up here.
Okay. I am Debbie Rady with Boardman Foods, one of the tenants of the board, Port of Morrow. And basically, you know, and all the different things that I've read and seen on this is the decision, as the port attorney has called out, as to what's the scope of what the decision can be made, what is the port agreeing, doing what the DEQ requires, and then what the planning, and what I understand is that Tamara has reviewed based on what the planning department rules are and that it meets those standards. This is big impact for our community, and it's really important. I can't stress enough how important it is that we get this passed and we move on, because this land is critical to the entire economics of our region and to our facility. So thank you for your consideration. And I would, if the attorneys, I know there's two attorneys here, but really love to hear their insights if there is questions about that, and that there be time for them to.
That's how the process works. You bet, Debbie.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know if Lisa wants to speak. Does anybody? Oh, is she on?
I don't know. Lisa, did you want to present testimony?
No, I did not. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if anybody else is online in favor.
Any additional proponents?
There's nothing in the chat, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now this time. Sorry.
It's okay.
please name and spelling and address. That's one for last time. Apologize.
Thank you. My name is Drew Martin. I'm the attorney for Mendrinks, and my address is 3370 10th Street, Baker City. And this is my client, Pete Mendrink, and his wife, Tressa. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Spell your name for the record.
Pete Mendrink. P-M-E-E-N-D-E-R-I-N-C-K. I reside in Hermiston, Oregon, with a dairy in Morrell County.
Tressa Mendrink, M-E-E-N-D-E-R-I-N-C-K, Post Office Box 1011, Hermiston, Oregon, 97838.
Thank you. I'd like to start by saying how much we appreciate the fact that there is this process available to my client, because this is a matter of the existence and continuation of his of their dairy operation. And this I cannot stress enough that this is the option, the alternative that the local landowner has to present his side, their side of the situation. And fundamentally what was going on here is a consideration of an alternative that that my clients have proposed that, from our standpoint, provides the port with the ability to achieve the objective that they're seeking to accomplish, while respecting a neighboring landowner that could be irreparably harmed by what the applicant is proposing. And so at the heart of this is as the land use decision implies, this is a local land use decision where you all have the authority to consider the evidence that's presented here, specifically consider the alternative, and you do in fact have the ability and the authority to consider the alternative that is presented and to adopt that. I appreciate the fact that you all have had a chance to either listen to the hearing from last night. I'll try not to repeat a lot of that, but I do want to briefly go over the additional material that that we submitted for this hearing. And I'm not going to read the details of it, but I want to underscore the importance and the reason for the specific pieces of evidence that we submitted. One of the most critical aspects of this in the presentation is substantiating and providing the evidence about the seriousness of the repercussions of this, of the wastewater and the implications to the neighboring dairy farm. And so what you have in front of you is you have an article from New Mexico that provides exactly the scenario that would be the catastrophe that we're trying to avoid with our proposed alternative, and we feel that the proposed alternative would go a long way in providing some help in minimizing that risk. But if you read that article, there was a 3,000 plus cow dairy in New Mexico that the water used for that dairy was contaminated with PFAS chemicals, and the consequences of that was that every dairy cow had to be euthanized, had to be disposed of. There's no salvaging anything. The dairy is of zero value. There was the logistical problem of disposing of that many cows. So we also have submitted the a letter from the PhD feed nutritionist that advises the Mendrink Dairy that again provides additional evidence of just how critical and important it is to protect the water. This is not a situation where if escape or trespass from the wastewater from the port gets onto the Mendrink property, where there's a chance to repair it or create it. It has the possibility that it is irreparable if that water contaminates the adjoining property that is a dairy operation. Now, we've also submitted a letter from the Northwest Dairy Farmers Association, again, stressing the importance of protecting the water and the consequences of contamination of water to a dairy operation. And then we also have a letter from Northwest Dairy Association, which that is the buyer of milk from the Mendrink property. So the reason we've submitted that is just to underscore and to make clear that this isn't some fever dream made up by some, I'm sure you've all heard the NIMBY title. That's not what's going on here. This is a neighboring landowner that has a tangible, identifiable concern and potential problem that we're trying to find a way to ameliorate those concerns and allow the port to proceed with what they need to do, which is to apply their water. There's been legal arguments on the port's position is that you don't have the authority to consider the alternative that we have proposed or to make that a condition of your approval, and the our position is that's not correct. The law does grant you the authority to consider that and to require it. And it's really as simple as this. Everybody agrees that there's a statute requiring the consideration of proposed alternatives. That requirement would have no meaning if you, in fact, as the commissioners, couldn't actually consider that alternative. Essentially, what the argument presented by the port is that statute requiring the consideration of alternatives is just some sort of precatory language that doesn't actually mean what it says. But what it says is that there must be a consideration of alternatives, and you, as the decision-making body, have the ability to consider those alternatives, and you have the discretion whether or not to apply that proposed alternative based on the evidence that is submitted to you. And so, in a broad sense, the proposed alternative is very simple. It is a request to realign the existing irrigation system to provide a setback to the Mendrink property to provide some measure of protection that will allow this dairy operation to continue and minimize risk. That's it. That is the proposed alternative, is a realignment of the irrigation system. And in that proposed alternative, which, can you bring that up?
Do you want the video as an exhibit? Because I forgot.
Yeah, I think we will. Okay. But I'd like to show that after we kind of talk about the
Other map.
What we have is the proposed alternative is on our exhibit list there, the setback proposal.
Okay, and so that would be exhibit.
Well, I should have numbered the exhibits, but it's titled setback proposal.
Do you have that, Stephen and Clint?
I am looking. Give me a minute here to look. So I've got the... Hold on, let me pull this up for you.
It's the LUD file. That's the original vicinity map. It's a map attached to the November 12th letter from Andrew Martin. Oh, yeah, scroll that. It might be right there.
So it's not in this letter. I've been looking for that map, and I can't seem to pull it up.
Oh. It's not that
I can't seem to find it. I've got a letter from Food Northwest. We've got the H2OEO.
No.
It's in Andrew's.
It's this one right here.
It was attached to the November 12th letter.
That packet right there. Stand by. Your left hand.
It says setback proposal. I'll scan and email it to you, Stephen.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the color-coded map. And well, I'll wait for two.
It'll just take a minute. For cell phones, because that's navigating online and remote would be pretty hard without a cell phone.
All right, there.
Oh, there it is. Maybe zoom in a little bit.
So what that depicts is the green block is the Mendrink property. The area in red is the portion of Farm 6 that we presented as a potential setback, but I would emphasize that's a proposed setback. And what that shows is that in order to create that setback, in order to keep that area from being irrigated, would not require any additional change to any existing irrigation systems that are on the Ports Farm 6. It's a simple matter of programming those pivots, which are already set up to do this, to only go in half circles as opposed to full circles, and that would create a 1,300-foot buffer between the Mendrink property and the wastewater being applied by the port. Those blue diamonds represent areas of ground that are currently not irrigated by the port, but could be very easily. So those are the pivot corners. You've got square ground and you've got circles irrigating it, so you have corners that are they're not irrigated. We asked the GIS department with the planning department, or with the Morrill County, I should say, to calculate the available acres, and those on just that spot, just this is just a sample piece of that property. And what you see is that in order to meet the port's objective, which is to continue irrigating all the ground that they have irrigated and to provide the setback, it is something that can be accomplished by adding irrigation to those pivot corners. Now, Ms. Stoffer Curtis stated that the port has responded to the proposal on why they can't do that, and in reviewing the record, they have not provided a specific response. They just said we can't do it. So on the one hand, we have Mendrink, who's provided very specific information that shows a very practical alternative here that again allows the port to do what they need to do and to begin as soon as this is approved. And we have a response from the port that provides no substantive response to any of that. There's just a conclusory statement that, well, we can't do that, it's cost prohibitive. I happen to be a farmer myself, and I have pivot irrigation. I myself have put in irrigation to irrigate pivot corners that are not irrigated. I would submit to you that if Drew Martin from North Powder, who has a farm, has the ability to financially withstand putting in irrigation on the corner, I'm pretty sure the port, with their resources, has the ability to irrigate those corners. So I don't think that's accurate. And again, I would submit there's nothing in the record that provided any evidence as to how costly that would be or why they couldn't do that. What I'd also direct the commissioner's attention to is in the packet that we submitted is, and again, this is all information. This map was not created by Mendrink's. This map was created by the port and was attached to their DEQ application. So all the maps and diagrams that you see that we've submitted with our information, those are maps, diagrams, and data that's been that was created by the port themselves. It was just taken from their DEQ permit, which we have submitted the entire DEQ, I'm sorry, the entire application that the port submitted to the DEQ to verify what I'm saying here. But in addition to that diagram that, that we just talked about, we attached the port's maps showing their irrigation infrastructure. And what you'll see is they already have main lines existing in close proximity to all of these corners. So the basic, the skeleton, the main line for the delivery of water is already in close proximity to all those corners, which facilitates the ability to add irrigation to those corners. I'd also think it's important to point out that in one of the letters that the port submitted in response to the Mendrick proposal is they actually concede and were willing to condition their own use. The letter from Ms. Middlesdorf specifically said they agree to stop running the end guns on their pivot. So, you know, how as commissioners do you, you know, view that information? Well, I think the way to properly view that is that's a concession by the Port of Morrow that they in fact do have the ability to work with the neighboring landowner to some extent to meet the concerns. So it's not a this does not appear to be a situation that's a zero-sum game. And that's certainly not the proposal that has been submitted by the Mendrinks. The Mendrinks are not opposed to the port's application of water on Farm 6. Their opposition is to the proposal as currently submitted. That can be fixed by this proposed alternative. So it's not an outright objection to the entire 5,300 acres that they are wanting to irrigate. It's an objection to this small portion, less than 3% of the land acres out there, which the applicant has demonstrated with the port's own information. This isn't information that was created by the Mendrinks. This is information that was submitted by the port as part of their DEQ permit, and in fact some of the information they submitted with their land use application here. And so in this ultimate exercise of considering the proposal as submitted by the port and considering the alternative as presented by the Mendrinks, because that is what we're doing here. I think on the one hand, you have a proposed alternative that meets what some of the witnesses have testified, which is the need for the port to begin applying water. It does that. And it provides a measure of protection to the neighboring landowner. Again, the record is very clear about just how significant and important the protection of the neighboring landowner is. Now, again, would emphasize it is perfectly within your authority and purview to consider these proposed alternatives and to weigh the evidence that's been submitted by the Mendrinks in contrast to the arguments that you have heard from the port as to why they can't do it. And I would submit to you, you've not heard any clear reason why they can't do this other than they think that the law is such that they just don't have to and that they can do whatever it is that they want without making any concessions. That argument would be a lot more compelling except for the fact that there's a statute that specifically requires consideration of alternatives. And so, as you deliberate on this, I think one of the things to consider is what happens if you, what are the consequences of making a decision one way or the other? If you make the decision that accepts the proposed alternative, you can accept that tonight, and the port gets to start immediately applying water on 5,100 plus acres. They can get right back to the full 5,300 acres that they want to use right now with some pretty minor modifications to their system. If you deny the proposed alternative, you have put in jeopardy a family operation that represents a lifetime of work that is hinging on the ability of the port to maintain, to follow the rules of their DEQ permit. That is the only, that's what it comes down to. There is nothing else that the Mendrings have. They are relying exclusively on that. What I point out is in the DEQ application that the Port of Morrow submitted, you will see in there 100 plus pages of violations of the port's permit before now. So we have in the record a pretty strong history of showing that the port has difficulty meeting their permit requirements. And so as the Mendrings look at this, I think you can understand how they don't have a high degree of confidence just because the DEQ permit says thou shalt not let your water go past the boundary line. They're not entirely confident that that's going to be the case or that they can rely on that. What I think might also be helpful in your consideration, sort of putting this all into context, is my clients actually have some video footage where you can actually see the property. I don't know if anybody had a chance or has taken the opportunity to drive out there and kind of look at the property, but Tamara, are we able to bring up the...
Yeah, I can pull that video up right now if everybody's ready.
That'd be great.
Okay, give me a second here.
And as that's happening, I'll have my client kind of explain to you what you're seeing, perspective of what you're looking at and the property. So when it comes up, go ahead and tell them what they're looking at.
Okay, so this is our property looking back from the east towards the west. That white building right there is our well house, well within 150 feet of their northeast pivot. And you can see as that we go north here, you can see the land sits higher than what our corrals do. When that wind blows, that water comes and hits my cows, hits my workers, hits my feed, goes into that canal. It's a disaster. As we turn and go south here, you can see again the
So on the distance. Right is Farm 6, on the left is the Mendry dairy, and they're heading south. That pickup you're seeing is heading south on the boundary line.
And again, that's our well house that we use to irrigate, or excuse me, to water our cows. We employ about 15 people that live on the dairy. That's their potable water right there. And again, when that wind blows, it just comes over the top of us because they're taller than we are. This is a view from our houses where we employ our workers. This is a pivot to the south. Again, it sits higher than what the houses do. If the wind blows from the south, we get residual water that blows on the vehicles, on themselves, on the cars. And again, this water, I don't know if you guys have ever smelled it, but it stinks. It's going to help or hurt me to, you know, keep my employees wanting to live on the dairy. We run an operation that runs 24/7, 365. We don't stop. It would be just, it'd be ground zero for me, is what it would be. And like Drew said, they've got all the funds in the world. We're not trying to stop them. We understand we all got to live in this little microcosm of a ag area. But they got plenty of resources to try to help me out so I can keep going. 30 years, I moved from Idaho with 50 cows. We milk a couple thousand now. First generation. I hope. What everybody realizes too is I got kids. My kids work out at the dairy. They're taking an interest, 4-H. My son's wanting to see how things work. I don't want to take that away from him. I don't know what's in that water. They won't tell us what's in the water. They won't test what's in the water. We want to be a good neighbor. Thou shalt be a good neighbor. Sorry, I just... We're not a big corporation. We're just a family business.
So the other, one of the other things, because kind of one of our big objectives here is to show that there's options, there's alternatives, there's a way to make this work for everybody. We really believe that. So what I also submitted today was an email and an exhibit from an irrigation specialist who's actually somebody who does all my, you know, puts in my pivots and does work for me. And there is a very cost-effective, it's a $5,000 add-on to the pivots that would install a valve within the pivot that would shut off a portion of the pivot at different locations within the field. And so the email of Adam Kearns just provides a demonstration of what that would look like. And so for a pretty minimal, again, if changing the pivots from a, you know, a half circle or from a full circle to a half circle, you know, is too much, there's other options in here that we've demonstrated. There's ways to provide this setback, to provide some protection for the neighboring landowner. And again, I just emphasize to allow the port to do what they need to do. I mean, there's a recognition on our part that it's important. There's a lot of people that need that to happen, and our position is not to try to stop that. It's really to provide a pretty practical solution and option that can be workable for everyone. So that's a lot of talking from a lawyer, and I certainly wanted to provide an opportunity for any questions or I know it's a lot of material that's been shoved in front of a bunch of volunteers for on a commission. I understand how that goes, but yeah, we would sure welcome the opportunity to answer any questions, provide any explanation about the dairy operation or any of the information we've submitted on what we think is a very reasonable, practical alternative here.
Questions?
Yeah, if you can state the statute and read the pertinent parts of it that you're referring to. I'm sure it's in here, but just to help us out.
Yeah, well, both sides have cited it several times, so it's pretty easy to point to it. So the specific statute is ORS 215. 246 sub 3, and that's within your proposed findings of fact. It's specifically acknowledged as one of the criteria that's applicable to this decision. And what it says is that when a state agency or a local government makes a land use decision relating to the land application of reclaim